To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
It's September 2, 2009.
And this is Auto Thumbs 41. And I'm Chris
Rangel. I'm Nick Brecken.
Don't do that. People are already confused.
I'm Jake Rock.
No. We should really introduce ourselves.
Okay, so I'm Chris Remo. I write for Gamma Sutra.
I'm Nick Brecken. I write for Shaq News.
And I'm Jake Rodkin, and I work at Telltale Games.
All right, good.
Hey, we're all here.
Yes.
We should address ourselves with those full titles every time any of us say
hello,
anything.
Hello, Chris Remo, editor-in-large of Gamma, of at slash or Gamma Sutra.
Dot com.
It's already proving itself to be a terrible idea.
Dot biz. Dot museum.
Dot bizium.
Yeah. That's a competitor to the San Francisco's...
the Zium?
Zium. Zium.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, hey, we're here for Idle Thumbs.
Yes.
We're here for you, Idle Thumbs.
We are. We are going to be at Penny Arcade Expo this weekend in Seattle. And before we kick off the main cast, we would like to inform you that this is so important that there's a...
The expo siren is on for this crazy event.
We are going to be hosting an Idle Thumbs get-together of some sort.
Hosting is a strong word.
Hosting is an overly
no actual.
Word.
We'll be standing in a corner somewhere, and you can find us.
No, but if you guys want to meet up with us and some other Idle Thumbs readers, come to the bottom of the escalator of the Seattle Convention Center at 5:15 on Saturday, which is the second day of the show.
And the address, the actual street address of this location here is 710 Pike Street in Seattle. And bear in mind that the actual hall itself is not off limits to non-attendees. We've gotten a few questions from Seattle residents.
You can meet on the ground floor of the convention center, and it's okay.
Even if you're not actually going to PAX, so feel free. So we're going to meet there at about 5:15. Probably 10-15 minutes later, around 5:30, we're going to head over about a block away to the Fox Sports Grill at 1522 6th Avenue. Because where else, honestly, would you have an Idle Thumbs video game podcast?
It's pretty much, if there's one thing that Idle Thumbs is about, it's Fox Sports Grill.
Right. So that's where we'll be at about 5:30. We're planning on maybe giving away some games, some Steam codes, maybe some physical games. And
definitely some computer and video games will be given away.
Right.
But not computer and video games magazine or
.com.
Also, video games Rodkin will not be given away.
No.
Also, some people asked if it was okay to go to this place if you're under 21 because it's a bar. It is, because it's not only a bar.
It's also a restaurant.
It's a family establishment.
It's a grill.
They have sports there.
Yeah.
So Fox I guess sports. Fox Sports specifically.
For PAX, they're converting it to an esports bar, though. So it'll be,
that would be amazing.
It'll be pro StarCraft and CS matches.
Yeah.
With a conservative bias.
Right. So that's what we're doing. It'll be cool. We know at least some people are coming. We've gotten some pretty solid confirmation. We hope enough people will come. That'll be cool.
We hope you will come. Yeah. Right now, 3 days before the show, book a flight to Seattle just to go to the grill, because PAX is sold out.
You could just move there if that's too inconvenient.
PAX might be sold out, but the Idle Thumbs meetup...
There's enough room in our hearts for you. One thing to keep in mind, hopefully by the time you hear this or quite soon thereafter, this information will be etched in something more approximating stone on idlethumbs.net on our new blog section, which should be active any moment now.
Assuming we get it done tonight.
Assuming we stay up late enough for that to happen. So go there, and we should have that information written down in a convenient format for you to print out or email to yourself or something. And then we'll hopefully see you on Saturday. All right. So that's PAX. Moving on.
Video games.
We do a podcast about that called Idle Thumbs. Here we are doing it.
Hey.
Have you guys played anything?
We've all been sort of floundering in the land of slightly too old to be relevant, but we're going to talk about a little bit of that right now anyway.
Yeah, I guess we are.
Well, just for a second. We could... Yeah. You could talk about Mass Effect.
I could talk about that.
Because that's, mean, you know, the ongoing saga of you playing that game. Did you play? Did you start a new character? Did you start over again?
Well, I did. I think I said that last week.
No, I meant since last
second
week.
Time, though, right?
I thought maybe you'd re-rolled again.
Your third character, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it depends if you mean, like, this year or just total.
Okay.
I mean, well, I'm trying to think.
No, so you're back playing as your sniper character again.
Right. The one that I'd started and gotten frustrated with. I think last week I said I was going to start as... Oh, no, I did start as a soldier.
Yeah, and then you abandoned him again for the sniper because it was too much to bear.
It was just the thought of going, of playing through that beginning section for a third time in the span of just a few weeks was very disheartening. And so I decided, fuck it, I'm going to bite the bullet.
You're going to snipe your way through this.
Snipe my way through with this horrible, horrible sniper rifle. So I've been doing that. I've just been pumping enough points into the sniper rifle skill and putting enough mods on my stupid gun to make it not, you know, just completely useless. It's
weighting
now,
it down.
Yeah, exactly. I carry around a tripod.
Yeah.
I can basically shoot a guy with it now without it just swinging all over the screen. So that's cool. I have come to an observation though. That has been frustrating me about Mass Effect that I think is at the root of a lot of my other frustrations. I mean, some of the things in this game are just badly balanced. I mean, we've gotten enough feedback to be pretty confident that some boss battles are just really poorly balanced. And
it's a badly balanced boss battle.
It's, yeah. No, it's good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the butter battle. And the some classes are just not very equivalent in terms of overall effectiveness. But also, there's sort of an unfortunate thing in Mass Effect, which is that pretty much every category you can put points into, be it weapon effectiveness, shields, health, conversational ability, hacking, you know, electronics, damping. I forget which are
everything
all which, but
shooting.
Well, everything really is good and fun and useful to have. I mean,
yeah.
None of those, you know what I mean? They're all sort of throughout the game. There are plenty of opportunities to use all of them, which in one sense is good. The problem is, the only ones that actually help you get through the game in any meaningful way are the combat ones.
Yeah.
Which are basically shooting and shields and health. And I don't know. I guess if you use a lot of biotics, the ones related to those. But my point is that they've got this whole really well-constructed conversation and dialogue system as far as I'm concerned. I think all of the Paragon and Renegade stuff, which is sort of, you know, vaguely parallel to the good or evil system in other RPGs. I think that stuff is great. I think it's a really good take on a pseudo-morality system, and it works really well, and I really enjoy getting all those other options to open up in the conversations and having that have an impact on the way my character interacts with people. The problem is, none of that stuff has any impact on the game at all.
Right.
It doesn't... You can't use those skills to go and talk your way out of a major fight. Maybe in some of the smaller, goofy side quests, but there's no sense
You can't play through the A story with that actually as your character.
Right. Right. If your character is a really smooth talker, that's not reflected at all in the actual overall narrative of the game.
But the ladies go crazy for him.
Yes. Yeah. I guess so. I don't know, actually.
Oh.
Maybe.
So basically these are...
I gotta start over again now, damn it. Basically what, Nick?
Well, they're secondary abilities, but they're weighted as if they were primary abilities in a way.
Yeah, exactly. They take just as many points to beef up as your important abilities, but there isn't an equivalent
playstyle. But it's frustrating that those
style.
Aren't simply primary abilities in the sense that in a game like Fallout where you can...
Right, like Fallout 1 in
simply,
particular.
Yeah, right. You know, actually get through an entire block of the game just by talking your way through it.
Right.
So, yeah. And yeah, it's disappointing. I mean, it's... I don't know. In some way, I can see that might be the result of the developer going, okay, we have all of this combat in the game.
Right.
We want them to play through it as opposed to skip it.
But I mean, I think
too bad the combat is the lame part of this.
I know, right.
I think most people who play Mass Effect are going to shoot their way through
to play the combat. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it takes a specific
person,
and it's probably a slightly more hardcore RPG gamer, especially a PC RPG gamer, who's going to want to try and talk their way through it.
Yeah,
and then when it's not supported, that is kind of disappointing.
See, that's fair enough. The problem with that is that you do end up getting these other classes mm-hmm. that you feel like shouldn't be the combat classes. The problem is the game doesn't really allow. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I mean, it's just the argument of, well, BioWare wants you to have to, you know that either they want to put all the action stuff on display because that's sort of what the game was about when they were selling it. But I forget what I was saying.
Well, I understand what you're saying about most people want, and that's fine if they actually want to make a game structured around that.
I stopped talking halfway through, but we are making the same point. There's a certain type of person who is going to want to play in an unsupported way, and it's frustrating that they give the people who specifically know to seek that sort of thing out what looks like the option to do it, and then don't.
But then don't, yeah. In addition to that, though, the actual class systems themselves, like not just the skills, but the actual classes, they say, like, you can play this sniper class, but then they don't. You basically just have to play it like a soldier with a shitty gun that you have to sort of just compensate for by pumping so many points into sniper rifles that it just essentially almost attracts your ability. You know, I basically, my shields and health are suffering drastically because I'm putting a lot of points into sniper rifles, but I also just cannot bring myself not to pump all that stuff into conversation just because of my own personal, and you could argue that's my fault and that's fair enough, but it's frustrating to me that the game has no other end of the scale where I can balance that out.
When they're going to allow for options like that, they should really make sure that they're balanced.
The game itself supports it.
Yeah, at that point, you're not receiving the same experience as somebody else who played through it on Soldier and you know, had no problems.
Even though you have to complete the exact same tasks.
Right. So it's, you know, entirely detrimental.
Yeah. But there isn't really any bonus
to
not just doing that unless you're just into it. But and it's too bad because I always feel like Western RPGs are always the type of RPG that traditionally do allow that kind of thing. And that, you know what I mean? I think certainly when you look at a game like Dragon Age, just speaking of BioWare, I mean, as much as we were dumping on that game early on, what I've seen of it does seem like it's much more of that kind of thing, you know, where you do have more of that freedom to go to attack these different situations in drastically different ways. And I'm hoping Mass Effect 2 will maybe go for, I don't know. It seems like they're going for choice as a big deal in that game. So
yeah,
we'll see. Mass Effect. Yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else have we been playing? We've all been playing this iPhone game, Spider.
Oh, yeah. We should talk about that.
It's like $3. Is it still only $3?
It's a few dollars. Yeah.
It's definitely the amount of money where you don't really need to think about it. And it's pretty fun. Jake, you've probably played it the most.
Yeah.
I have, but I mean, dude. I was going to say who actually was the people behind it, but I've already forgotten
that up right now, and you can talk about it.
It's people who are known for things because they're real, and I can't remember who it is.
Okay, well, what about the game?
It's an iPhone game. It's probably one of the few non-sort of like puzzly games that I've played that actually feels like it's worth playing on an iPhone versus was supposed to be played with a mouse or on a DS or something like that.
Yeah.
In this game, you are.
It actually feels like the iPhone interface might be the most ideal interface for this game.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Which is quite rare.
It definitely is.
Yeah,
I can't imagine playing it.
Yeah, it feels like it's an actual iPhone game, which is nice. You play as a spider, believe it or not.
Yeah.
It's definitely casual in style. I mean, you crawl around the sort of perimeters of objects in a house. And then you can jump from place to place, leaving web. And if you join web trails into a shape, it fills in with like a full, you know, sort of spider web pattern, which insects can then fly into. If you eat them, you get extra webs. So the idea is to clear a level, while also maintaining, without running out of web, at which point your spider starves to death and dies. And you can do things where, if you can lay a bunch of traps out, and then go from and then jump from web to web and collect all the insects that you've gathered sort of cleverly. It has multipliers and all sorts of things. But the play control is really nice. You just sort of click and hold You sort of touch the screen and move your finger around on it, and the spider will sort of chase your hand, walking on the nearest
control.
Wall, sort of like worms. Yeah. And then if you flick your finger, the spider will jump in that direction. But that's a really satisfying mechanic.
It is.
It's really satisfying.
It's kind of. I like how fast the spider moves. I mean, it's just kind of like inherently goofy.
Well, what's cool is that it sounds self-evident,
like,
but it's really it's really well-tuned. Like the faster you flick it, the faster it goes, and it's very, very well
balanced. Right, it feels right. It goes where you want, which is nice.
It's surprisingly good. Oh man, Randy Smith worked on this game.
Yep.
Okay, so he's a real guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Randy Smith has worked on a ton of stuff. Is he no longer at EA? Yeah, he must no longer be at EA.
Yeah.
But he's worked on a bunch of games. I think he worked on
He's a Looking Glass guy, if you're curious.
Yeah, he's ex Looking Glass. And
Thief, System Shock 2, other Thief, and My Sims.
Right. So he's a real dude. And I feel like at this point I've kind of exhausted, I think, the main novelty of the game,
mm-hmm.
but it is so well constructed that I still go back and play like a level of it, you know, just one
right.
level
You'll
of
just
it.
Open it up every now and then and yeah. spider around. Yeah. yeah. It's nice to be playing a game on an iPhone that has a game control mechanic and I'm, you know, that isn't Peggle or, like a Scrabble game or something.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
yeah.
nice to be moving a character around using the conventions of iPhone controls in a way that is fun.
Yeah. yeah.
And I should say, I'm not at this point. I'm very much not a fan of most iPhone games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's
there's not a whole lot on there.
Yeah. And so the fact that I really enjoyed this one, I don't know, maybe yeah. suggests it's pretty good. Yep. Maybe not. I don't know.
Oh, also just if it's the sort of thing that you're into, one other thing that's kind of cool about Spider is all the, every screen's, or every sort of level's background is a single full piece of art. It's a huge chunk of a house. Like it's the kitchen or whatever, oh, or yeah. the living room. But, as you play through the game, just sort of through things that you find when you go inside a drawer or pictures on the wall or things like that, there is a sort of narrative of why the house that you're in is empty and why no one's there anymore that cool. you can sort of discover as you play through the game. So if you like that sort of thing being woven into a casual spider, it's
yeah.
got that.
And on that note, the full name of the game is Spider, the Secret of Bryce Manor.
Yeah.
Which you might need to know because I bet there are multiple games that include the word spider.
Yeah.
Like
don't,
Spider Solitaire.
You might find Spider Solitaire. Yeah.
I think I
also an awesome game, however.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if the iPhone one's any good, but yeah. I played Spider Solitaire for years in college. It was ridiculous. I got really good at that game. Like, really, really good. I could beat more than 50% of all random games on expert level. I was hardcore at Spider Solitaire.
All right.
So, just saying. I just, you know, I
wow.
Man, I did. Discovering new things about Chris Remo every podcast.
Are you? Are you really?
Yeah.
Well,
eventually you'll cross the threshold of things. You know, you'll
you wish you didn't.
you'll sort of cross the line into oh god,
yeah,
yeah. just keep asking, questions.
I'm gonna eventually ask questions. Run out of safe topics.
I'm a little. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you thought it was just card games, packaged Windows casual games. So you have no idea. What am I talking about?
Spiders.
Yeah. What else have we been playing?
I played some Gratuitous Space Battles.
Oh yeah, Gratuitous Space Battles. Yes. What a weird thing.
Yeah, that's the name of the game for people who aren't. Yeah. It's Gratuitous.
It's two-dimensional,
space
right?
Battles. Yeah, it is.
It's
really
game's
nice kind
of two-dimensional. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't. Yeah, it needs to be fleshed out.
So, what is Gratuitous Space Battles? It does contain
Gratuitous Space Battles.
Oh man,
what style of game is this though?
It's basically, God, if you took a game like Galactic Civilizations and ripped out the whole galactic part and well, just
you
made
know
it,
what it
so you just get Civilization.
You know what it looks like to me? I mean, I haven't played it. Why? And I haven't seen any videos, but just the screenshots, it looks like the Melee component from Star Control.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's all of those games. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's basically that, but you have no control over any of the ships.
So it's a cutscene.
It's a game where you fight other ships, or you have no control over any of the
you
ships.
Have no
what do you
control
do?
Or any of the
Wait,
ships.
What do you
it
do?
It is.
It's like
simply
a soccer team manager.
Battles.
Wait, so you just watch
but it
this
is,
game play?
It is like a soccer team manager. You build the ships. You put out. You know. You actually sort of script them in a way that it gives you several
really?
Orders.
Is it
that
like
you can,
Final Fantasy 12?
I didn't play Final Fantasy 12.
But so you, it's the sort of game that where you build up your army and give them a few orders and then watch everything unfold.
Right. Yeah.
Press,
I mean,
you press play.
You say and, like this thing should yeah. target frigates and it should, you know, coordinate with this ship and these fighters are attached to this thing. And,
yeah.
And then, you know, I mean, all of the ships, it's actually incredibly complex, maybe too complex. But I mean,
really, that's the opposite of what I expected from those screenshots. This game had like postage stamp style screenshots.
Yeah.
That just looked basically like little ships fighting around.
Right.
So this is nothing like Star Control.
Probably no.
Okay. I was totally wrong.
I mean, every ship hull has, you know, hard points on it. And then there are like a million things you can put on them and you unlock more things as you win battles. And that's basically it. It's just making your ships and customizing them for the, you know.
Is it fun?
You know, it wasn't at first because it's kind of poorly balanced at the moment because the first fight, they give you default ships. If you just spend all of your available resources and just put in all of those default ships and hit play, you lose every time. Like there's no like right. there's no ramping up to
right.
this game.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of expect there to be the first easy level. There's no first easy level. It's just
It's a gratuitous space battle.
It's gratuitous. It's gratuitous. Yeah, you die. Once you determine that that you need to, like, you know, have like a something that knocks out shields on this ship, and then have this guy coordinate with this one and do. I mean, once you sort of figure out that you can win, then it becomes easy. So I don't know. Is
sounds
it fun?
Like a sounds like a certain game Nick and I have been playing. I shouldn't even talk about it.
Oh, no, you shouldn't. You
right,
shouldn't.
Well,
talk.
Anyway.
Oh, what are you guys playing?
Nothing. Okay, so anyway.
Anyway.
What, speaking of Star Control, well, anyway, are you done with gratuitous space battles?
Yeah, I guess I should probably... I think people should check it out, although it was one of those things where we talk about pricing a lot, and uh-huh. I'm fairly liberal about, you know, handing out my dollars, but this game is $20 to play the beta, and it's...
yeah, but you get the real game later, right?
You get the real game, but even then, I don't know, $20 is a lot for what you're getting here, so... you know, if it sounds like something that's
it
up
it sounds like some dudes would love it and everyone else will be baffled.
That's what I don't want to say, go out and buy this game because it's really great. It's just like Homeworld, because it's not. It's just a thing where you're putting, you know, weapons on ships and then hitting play and then seeing
it's
what
like
happens.
If you were programming the AI from Homeworld.
Yeah, basically, right. Yeah, it's yeah, if you're doing all the hard work and not being able to control anything or make anything explode, that's the game.
But that's
so,
cool. I mean, it's just weird.
I'm enjoying it, actually.
A designed simulation.
That's basically. Interesting.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of things you can pay for the beta of and play.
I like that. Are you going to segue to the same thing you were going to segue
no,
earlier?
No, totally
different. Okay. I thought that was going to be awesome. A weird, like, false branching path.
No, I got segs coming out my ass. I can seg left, seg right. So anyway, a game that I talked
pizza.
About, a game that I talked about a couple months ago, I think, A Reckless Disregard
oh, yeah,
for
right.
Gravity.
Oh, yeah.
This game has now been added to Steam as a pre-order and will be released tomorrow, I think, September 3rd. So if you buy it before then, if you somehow listen to this and decide to buy it before then, you get that game and you also get Digimon Games' previous game, The Wonderful End of the World, which is kind of it's very much a Katamari kind of clone. But it's fun, and a lot of people really liked it. It was quite well received for what it was. So you get two games for like $13 or something. I mean, it's not very expensive. And I highly recommend A Reckless Disregard for Gravity. I talked about it earlier this year, and I really enjoyed
it
quite a bit. Jake, did you play it as well?
I just played it for like 20 minutes on your computer.
It's,
and died a lot, but enjoyed crazy skydiving.
Yeah, you didn't start from the beginning, so it was tough.
No,
to,
I was destroyed. But
the game has a pretty good learning curve. It eases you into it. It's a base jumping game. Even when you look at the screenshot, it even looks kind of stupid. I mean, you jump off of a building and just hurtle at high speed down to a landing pad where you deploy your parachute and then land. And then on the way, you've got to skirt quite close to buildings and rack up high scores and get multiplayers. And it's just really fun. There more and more mechanics get added on as you go, but it's pretty gradual. You unlock more levels. It's a really simple concept, but it's done really well, and the game has a really awesome, like, really brash, crazy indie style to it that's, I think, incredibly well pulled off. It's a very goofy, weird game, but in a really kind of specific, like, punk kind of way. I don't know, it's hard to explain, but it's fun. And I would recommend it. And it's not very expensive. And you get two games if you buy it
the
next
day. It
made me
kind of sad. We posted about that game on Shaq News. And all of the responses were like, man, this game looks like shit.
I know.
That Matrix code. Man, somebody make this in like 2 minutes?
I know.
It looks like ass.
It's really disappointing to see that. Because if you play the game, it's really... And I think you can probably still get the free alpha build bit demo. I mean, you can probably still download that. I don't know if it's still...
Probably, yeah.
But it's true. It's not... like a, you know, graphical beast, but it not really intended to be. I mean,
right.
When you play it, you really can get a sense for how much the developers enjoyed making it and sort of how many cool little touches are put into it here and there, even in weird places. I think the game's got a great sense of style, and it's just not the one most video games have. But I think it's really cool, and it does break my heart to see those responses, because getting shortchanged.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah. I'm going to tell people about it on the Idle Thumbs podcast.
There you go.
And then the game's going to be a big success, and they're going to give me a medal, and I'm going to win. That's probably what's going to happen.
I think that's, yeah.
Man, Star Control, though. Did you guys ever play that game, like, in the early 90s?
Yeah.
Star Control 2?
Yeah.
Do you ever, like, think about games you used to play when you were younger and that are old now, like almost 20 years old, and just get like overwhelmed with like how, like, I don't know. That was like a majestic fucking accomplishment on the part of those guys.
Yeah.
To make a game in those days that was that crazy and complex and cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's sort of, it's weird to me. Some of the things that it feels like there was kind of an inverse like parabola or something that went on with games like that, where they kind of just stopped existing. And then now I guess you have stuff like Sins of a Solar Empire, but
yeah,
even that's not as crazy and weird and cool as Star Control 2. For anyone who hasn't played Star Control 2, you can play a freeware version of it called Battle of the Urquan Masters that is supported by the original developers of the original games, who are now toiling in an Activision sweatshop for the rest of time. But also, they made a cool game one time. You can play it. What am I talking about?
I don't know.
Star Control 2, you're just rambling here.
All right, maybe I should move on.
Oh, I did want to bring up Batman really quickly.
Ooh, yeah. The Batman.
Yeah, the Batman. Uh-huh. I actually don't really want to talk about it so much as I want to...
Just say... Well, you want to say Batman a couple times?
Yeah,
Batman. Batman.
Yeah.
I'm Batman. Do it.
I'm Batman.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. All right, go.
Yeah. So, I didn't want to talk about it. I wanted to just maybe ask for opinions about it. So
what?
By the time that we have played it, we have some reader mail maybe.
Because, weird. Okay.
Well, no, I want to get people's, I don't know. I think it's a game probably worth talking about. I don't know. I don't really know where my opinion lies yet.
But you have played it.
I played about 2-3 hours of it.
Uh-huh.
I'm currently stuck. I'm playing on hard.
Are you on the Bane fight?
I am on the Bane fight. On hard. Uh-huh. It's really hard.
Can you adjust the difficulty in real time?
Seems like everybody I've talked to
does it have a real time difficulty switch?
No.
Okay. What does everyone say?
Well, whenever I say I'm stuck, they say, are you on that Bane fight? The one where the guy runs in the wall? And then I'm like, yeah. And they go, oh, of course, because that's a shitty fight. So anyway, I don't want to offer an opinion because I feel like...
So what you're asking is, what do you guys think about the Bane fight?
Yeah, basically. Yeah,
wait, is that actually what you want?
Yeah, I don't want to shit on the game, but if other people want to, write in.
Well, what about what about your experiences up until Bane was spied?
You know, I thought it was... So far, you know, it's a solid game. I'm not like overwhelmed with, oh man, Batman, it's so good. It's like BioShock. I'm not getting that yet. I probably haven't played long enough, but a lot of the things that people are going wild about, I'm just kind of like, oh, that's nice, but it's not blowing me away.
Cause a lot of people are saying this is some goaty material here.
They are. Yeah. I think maybe I like Batman.
You're saying more like goatsy material.
No.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry. Go. Jesus
Christ. I mean, is that just because people's expectations for a superhero themed video game are?
I think that's like probably part of it.
Three toilets deep in the toilet.
I think that's got to be part of it. But I do think it's obviously a pretty solid game. But I mean, I don't know. For instance, the Scarecrow section, everybody seems to be going wild about, and I just thought it was cool, but just kind of, it's not what I would go, you know. Right,
bananas
home about.
For
yeah, it's not so. Anyway,
you don't go bananas for the Scarecrow.
Yeah, is that a possible title of this?
No,
no. Okay, good.
Bananas for the Scarecrow.
Anyway,
all right.
We
well,
can
I
move on. I think it's a good game. I want to see what other people are thinking, and see if there are any dissenting opinions. I'm just interested. I'm interested.
Dissenting from you or dissenting from the internet?
Both.
Okay. Anyone has any opinion at all about Batman, please direct them to Nick.
Well, I think by that time we'll probably have played it and want to know what people think about it.
Yeah.
Nice
questions at idlethumbs.net.
Yeah.
Or 55 Wizard On, call in as the Batman or about the Batman or to the Batman. Yeah. All of these options are available to you at 55 Wizard On.
Press
your
1 for the Batman. Press 2 to the Batman.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, one thing I did want to mention really quickly. For people who've played all the way through it, tell me, this is so stupid. Tell me how it ends. Yeah. No, tell me if there are a lot of points in the game where you can skip combat. I'm
curious about that as well.
I'm really curious.
Like if you can detect.
I can't believe how lame we're being right now.
I know.
So
it's super lame.
We're these game journalists.
I know. I feel
advanced
so
access
behind,
to all these video games.
I know.
Could you guys tell us like about the mechanics in this game?
I didn't have any time to play this weekend. I know PAX is going to destroy all of that.
Right. I know.
So.
Yeah.
I just want
we
to know.
We were at BlizzCon the weekend before.
Yeah. So I've played, you know, 2-3 hours. I haven't hit a lot of points where I can just skip a bunch of thugs. There seems to be a point where Batman says, I have to clear the room. And then you have to clear the room. And to me, that's kind of disappointing. And that's another reason why I'm just like, it's a good game, but it's not what I would think is amazing. So I want to know if that happens and what people think about that specifically. So anyway, moving on.
If you would like to produce a podcast right, discussing yeah. Batman Arkham yeah, Asylum, exactly. please feel free to do so.
Yeah. We're going to be the Gratuitous Space Battles podcast.
Yeah.
And maybe we're going to take a break.
Okay. Video game. And we're back.
Batman.
We're not done with Batman, I guess. We decided.
Yeah. So,
we're never done with Batman. Yeah.
I don't know. I was thinking.
Never done with you.
Oh, man. Can't quit you, Batman. Yeah.
And we're back. Now we're really back.
Okay. So
we're back, Batman.
We're back, Batman.
We're back, Batman.
We're back, Batman.
Let's get back.
Yeah, we don't want reader mail yet, Batman.
Why not?
What?
What? Batman really loves reader mail, apparently.
Love that wacky reader mail.
I don't even know what he's saying anymore. Batman, what's wrong, Batman?
Okay. I heard reader mail in there, so he's still talking about that.
Anyway, have you guys seen the crazy like costume mods people have made for the PC
version?
Yeah, there's
some pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
If you like a lot of Batman costume variants.
I don't know. I don't really know like what any of them are, except for
the PC version.
Have you not seen this?
No, but people modded the demo.
Oh,
where you can have like the Tim Burton or the Dark Knight or the Batman Begins,
And then
suits.
All these weird like comic continuity ones from like three
future thing or like maybe a thing Frank Miller did one time, and also they have the classic gray and blue 60s Batman.
Yeah,
no, nice
with like the gold little belt and all that crap. Yeah. It's pretty good, and I was thinking it would be pretty sweet and rad if someone were to figure out how the like audio file structure works and make an Adam West mod for this.
Right. Like the Batman barks become Adam West things.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were talking about this the other day and how awesome it would be to also get the 60s horn hits in there.
Yeah, exactly. Every
so
time
to
you
add
punch
in,
a guy.
Add into the punch bag. Yeah, oh so like God. It would sort of, if there were, you know, like the 10 or 15 regular fist and foot impact sounds that every now and then it would go, boom! Yeah. Had that like, oh, that'd be so good.
If you were really hardcore, you could replace particle effects with
pow.
Like pow and bam and all that. Yeah, that'd be probably impossible.
In between every cutscene, it's
it spins around. But at least getting some Adam West
just swapping
speech
out
in
some
there.
Of the sounds would be pretty great.
Yeah, yeah. If
anyone knows how to do this, please email us and maybe we'll try.
Yeah, or just do it and put up a YouTube
video. Or just
video.
Do it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that'd be
just
also
do this work
good.
For us. We're gonna lazy web that.
Well, I mean, people
give us impressions of the game.
People have figured
and could you review it too?
Also, could you just make a mod for this game too?
We're just looking to sort of crowdsource our Batman coverage here. If you guys could just kind of handle this for us,
Batman
we're kind of a little busy right now. So, can you guys just kind of do the whole Batman thing and maybe like link to you or something?
We're all actually going to go outside and throw our copies of the game into the street.
So just come over
any
here.
Any hard drive which contains the demo is now melting in Chris's microwave as we record this.
Okay.
But we kept the straitjackets.
Well, yeah. Did you get one of those too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Nick and I now have straitjackets with our names embroidered on the back.
Yeah.
That I don't really know what we're supposed to do with them.
Your names are embroidered on the back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like down the sleeve and everything.
Is it just your last name?
It's first
it's
initial
like
and then last name.
Yeah.
So we got that.
Yeah.
IDOS decided that's
we should
what
give
we
those away
to cover their game.
To bad packs.
Yeah. Cool straitjackets with our names on it. Idle Thumbs.
Yeah. Yeah, we should have gotten ones that said I Thumbs.
Oh, man.
I Thumb.
Yes.
Yeah, you that would have been better.
Ignatius.
Yeah, I've changed my name too. Yeah. That. I forgot to mention, speaking of Idle Thumbs, I ordered this crazy peripheral thing for the PC, the Novent Falcon. It's like an aiming device. You use it for PC games. It seems like mainly first person. Well, you know, you use it instead.
It does. You won't miss ever again.
I know.
You
find this hilarious.
Yeah, you're a douche.
I know. I'm kind of being a douche because it's probably something.
Here's
I
the thing:
do.
It's gonna show up at Chris's apartment, and we're gonna come back in like 2 weeks to record Idle Thumbs, and I'm gonna walk into the room, and you're gonna be sitting there playing Portal with this, going, "This is amazing! Oh, I'm Left 4 Dead."
I don't know if I am, but maybe
you will.
So basically, this is it's
you'll be using that voice too.
You use it instead of a mouse, and it you aim with it. You hold either a little just kind of sphere with buttons on it, or you attach a like pistol grip to it if you're playing a shooter, and you move this thing around on a just like on a plane basically. But then in addition to your horizontal and vertical movement, it also adds in like haptic feedback. So force feedback
it,
and then
it tracks translation and rotation.
Right.
I mean, it's 3 points that sort of come out of this sphere that meet in a triangle at your hand. So you can tilt your hand up, down, left, right, and it pushes various things into it. It's weird.
Yeah.
Look up a picture of it.
It's
also works as a piece of modern art.
Yeah.
Especially when it has the pistol grip coming off. Then it actually looks
yeah, right. it does, yeah, it does in actually, the MoMA. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's weird.
But yeah, it's the Novint Falcon, and
it also, if there's ice or something, it can somehow simulate that or something. Like, I don't know.
When
you're picking up an object,
if
you're picking up an object and it's
yeah, right. It basically
it has haptic feedback.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you pick up a heavy object, it will actually create greater resistance. So it's actually more difficult for you to move that object up, things like that. And I mean, games have to support it specifically. So all of Valve games support it.
The Penumbra games,
Fear. There's a whole list of stuff. I don't know off the top of my head, but it comes actually with the Orange Box and Penumbra, because Valve, I guess, really likes this thing. So suck on that, Nick. But anyway, the thing that I wanted to bring
up took about a year.
What?
Clearly, was not on their high priority list.
Well, they've been adding their games to it over time for a while now. So anyway, it's cool. Hopefully, I haven't gotten mine yet. I ordered it; should be coming in a couple days, and hilariously,
sweet stuff.
Yeah, I contacted the Novint people, and they set us up with a discount code that you can use and get 20% off if you decide to buy this wacky thing yourself. And the code is The Wizard, and that's just one word. So if you go to Novint's site and put this in your cart, the bundle with the pistol grip, and you put in The Wizard and you press redeem code, you'll get 20% off. And I've tested it and it works. So have fun with that weird thing that somehow is real. Moving on to
Want to move on to reader mail?
Let's do it.
This might be a weird reader mail because I think we're going to be reading some amusing anecdotes from people.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Who's to say when reader mail is in control?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Who is to say?
Mark Roberts writes, "Hi Thumbs, just wanted to say yours is my favorite podcast. I started listening at number 35, but after that guy wrote in to say he's going to go back and listen to them all, I decided to do that too." All right, so anyway, he says some more stuff about that. Anyway, a few thoughts I had in my brain. One, now that Jake has adopted the name Video Games, have you noticed how the podcast theme song is like Chris singing an ode to him? It's like it's like something out of Army of Two.
oh, God.
Two, isn't a community coordinator what Obama used to be? Jake for president. All right. Three.
This is a creepy email.
Did you know if you add G to the end of Jake's last name, it gives him a great porn star name? No, this doesn't This doesn't work for Nick Breckhong or Chris Remog. On rereading, maybe this email is too focused on Jake. Weird.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, keep up the good work.
What size clothes does Jake wear?
Oh, Jesus.
Mark, forum name. I came from Kijuju. Okay, so that's good. How did you like that, Jake?
I am confused and scared. Please read the next email. Quickly.
All right, so George writes, "Hey, VideoGam et al. I was interested in the discussion regarding the Novaria section of Mass Effect because I worked as a QA analyst at BioWare, and I covered the Novaria for the PC version of the game. And the stories I could tell about Dear Benezia, but seeing as I'm still working in the industry, I'll keep my NDA'd mouth shut. I can tell you a funny story from my BioWare days, though. BioWare is an amazing place to work, and if it weren't so far from my family, I'd still be there. Ray and Greg, the CEOs, are great hands-on bosses. You can get a chance to talk to them over breakfast in the cafe, or just bumping into them in the hallways. They're always around. That being said, one time I went into the third floor crapper to slash out a quick wizard. Walking in, it was clear something was wrong. A near incapacitating odor slapped me in the face as soon as I stepped in. Of course, some delightful coworker had taken a wood cabin of a dump and decided to leave the stall door open and the John on flush so I could just bask in its flatulent glory. I urinated quickly and headed out, but just as I'm opening the door, who do I see walking in? Greg Zestchuk. All I could do as a lowly QA guy was mutter under my breath, it wasn't me, as he passed me by. I don't want to say that giant dub is the reason I'm not at BioWare anymore, but it might explain the company-wide email sent out later that week with regards to bathroom conduct. Maybe you could write a song about the bathroom at BioWare. Best, George. P.S. Your show's excellent." All right. So there's a story. One time a dude took a huge poo at BioWare and Greg Zestchuk was there.
Two other people saw it. So now you guys know.
Man, that was a scatological email to the max.
Yeah.
Even his metaphors were full of poo.
Yeah.
I like that he calls it a log cabin. Though. I know. Yeah. So goddamn gross.
Yeah. Brendan Petrichek. Man, did you guys ever Remember that book, Everybody Poops?
No, Chris.
You had a chimpanzee comedy movie reaction shot where you sort of leaned back in your chair and covered your face with your hands. I don't know. You looked like a trailer chimp. From a comedy movie.
Yeah.
All right. Nick just wanted to cut me off with the past there, so I'm going to stop. I'll stop. Okay. Brennan Petrichek.
All those poo jokes, I don't thumb.
No, that's not what I was.
You guys remember that book?
Well, do
not
you?
Poo.
It's a really well-known book. I'm not. It's not.
No. Yes, all right. We all know the book, Chris.
It's highly respected.
Okay. It won a prize. All right. Brennan Petrichek writes, "The discussion of Time Donkey and whether it was real or not reminded me of something that happened a few years back."
Oh, this is awesome.
Sometime in 2007, an unannounced preview from Jake. IGN.com. An unannounced DS game showed up on a Nintendo of Japan release list. Its name was Wander Donkey. It was actually just a Donkey Kong game, King of Swing, that everybody already knew about, but it ended up suffering through some hasty translation.
Wander Donkey.
Hilariously, due to the automated information plugging nature of websites, a bunch of game profiles were created. I believe those sites actually made fixes to their news articles when they realized their mistake, but the game profiles stuck. As a result, various aggregators of such information generated even more pages. Just do a web search for Wander Donkey and you'll see what I mean. Some friends of mine and I thought this was kind of funny, so we decided to make a Wikipedia page linking the reputable IGN, GameSpy, and GameSpot profiles. The entire background story was fabricated, and Tozei was picked as the rumored developer just because they seemed like the sort of developer that would do a Wander Donkey game. We added a few bullshit links with all the necessary stuff to make it look somewhat official, and it's been sitting there ever since. I guess I'm kind of blowing the lid on our lame little joke, but I thought you guys might appreciate it, Brendan. Yeah, that's rad. I went and checked out this page.
Want to hear a little bit about Wander Donkey?
Yeah, go ahead.
As made up by this guy who just wrote in.
Yeah.
Wander Donkey is a graphic adventure for the Nintendo DS. It was originally announced February 2007. Originally as Wander Donkey DS. This game takes place in the fictional city of Daram, a small oasis in the middle of an unspecified desert around the year 995 AD.
I love that he just made all this crap
up.
Yeah,
I know. This is amazing.
The game's protagonist is Wander, a donkey who is in search of his true parentage after being exiled once his lineage comes into question by the village elder. The village elder Tala. On his journey throughout the desert and surrounding territories, Wander begins to discover the odd mystery of his missing history and seeks to help other people he encounters along the way, which is sourced... It's sourced to a reference down at the bottom, which is some article on Nindori.com, which
I think it's a Japanese language
which is a
site.
Japanese language site that no one from Wikipedia bothered to actually try and translate.
Right.
And it's blatantly not at all about Wander Donkey.
This is amazingly good.
Yeah.
I wonder if the Wander Donkey is one of the incarnations of the Time Donkey. You know what I mean? Who got stuck
hopefully,
back into
the right. This game is localized into Japanese. It's released as something that translates directly to Wander Donkey.
Yeah. Well, I mean, don't you guys remember Wander and the Colossus? There must be something about this.
So maybe it's Shadow Donkey.
I like that Donkey Kong King of Swing. Like I like
Donkey?
How you can sort of see what's going on there, you know?
Right, yeah.
Donkey Kong and then swinging. Moving, wandering, I don't really know, but you can sort of, like, the little threads are sort of apparent. This is amazing,
also,
by the way.
Also, this article apparently has never been nominated for deletion. It probably will now, unfortunately, because this guy outed it on Reader.
Right.
Although there have been...
But there have been a lot of
There
edits.
Have been requests for box art logo and screenshot.
Oh, man.
So a lot of anticipation,
so,
just no...
Wander Donkey is hotly anticipated. It's been, I mean...
Yeah. And you can, yeah...
There you go.
IGN
3 years
of
development
for
the
news,
DS. That's pretty. It's pretty
news,
epic.
Previews,
epic
screenshots
cycle.
Of Wander Donkey.
Yeah.
All
right. So, Dami. Oh my God. I'm sorry already. Dami Onafawakowin. Oh, I'm so sorry.
You okay. Son of a bitch.
He writes. I was listening to the last podcast when I heard you guys talking about Mass Effect. He was a big fan of the PC version of the game and a big KOTOR and KOTOR 2 fan. He says, I'm totally loving this game so far. I'm 15 hours in and can't wait to play it every day. I even enjoy the combat missions. Your discussion on the game lingered a bit on the different theories about the sky and the Presidium level of the Citadel, with one person thinking it was a hologram and the other thinking it's an artificial atmosphere. I'd like to establish here, I, Chris Remo, thought it was a projection and Nick thought it was an artificial atmosphere.
Right.
So just setting that up. While the digital just laying all I'm doing here is just
who's
making
to say
sure
why we're talking about
the
that
record
now?
Is clear.
Right, this is a little
so he goes on to say, while the digital tour guide makes no reference to it, it does actually state in your codex/journal that is a holographic projection with an artificial day-night cycle. You just got owned, Nick. You just
by
got
fact
pwned. by reality.
You sure he's not reading that from like check a Wikipedia yourself. Page?
But no, because like four people emailed in about this.
That would be the best yeah. thing in the entire world.
Source Nindori?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, right?
Wikipedia page.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, he goes on to say Mass Effect.
I'm going to go edit the Wikipedia page right now. Who's to say that, you know?
Mass Effect is one of the most well-realized sci-fi worlds I've ever had the pleasure of interacting with, and all the dialogue, from giving a news interview to defending Normandy's cause to an overzealous admiral, just makes for compelling gameplay. I also like how the choices are a little more nuanced, and sometimes you're not sure what's the good or evil choice. I can't wait for the sequel, and I'm not even done with the first one. Keep up the great job, and God bless Demi. P.S. I'm doing my first playthrough as a soldier, and I feel like I'm missing out on the biotics a little. What character class are you playing through as? Well, like I said, I'm playing through as the dumbass sniper. Nick, you played through as a soldier, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Also, the stuff that this guy identifies as the best parts of the game, I fully agree with him. I think all the stuff like these sort of just inserting you into the middle of this military command structure and just having you go straight into these conversations where you've got to immediately start defending your decisions and things like that, I thought were awesome. Really well done.
Yep, that's cool.
There's a great news interview where you get interviewed by someone and you have to either... You can very much like sway sort of obviously hawkish news interviewer over to your side, or you can just be an asshole,
right.
or you can say sort of things of the other theoretical political ideology that would sort of turn this person against you. It's really cool. There's like three kind of discrete ways you can
You know
guide
what
that
I wish this game was, actually? I wish you were Space Cop.
What?
As opposed to a space soldier.
Time Cop, RoboCop?
No, as opposed to a space soldier, I wish you were a space cop.
You wish you were a member of CSEC.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Because then you could just be solving these problems, but it wouldn't be like, you're saving the world. You're just kind of, you know.
Saving the universe or the galaxy,
well,
I guess.
Right, yeah.
Saving
so you actually you wouldn't be saving the world.
Yeah, you would say, maybe save individual worlds.
Yeah.
You maybe don't want to get your saving threshold too far beyond
a
world.
They'll save that for, like, the third space cop when the president of space is like, there's only one man for this job.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. You're the John McClane of space.
Space cop. Space cop 2. Space cop 3.
The world
space harder.
Space harder? Yeah. Isn't space cop 3 the world is yours? Yeah. Or space, space cop 3, space lord.
Yeah. Space cops.
Space boss.
Lord of Space.
Space Boss, the Lord space of Space, man. A space cop adventure. In space.
Yeah. Tales of Space Cop.
Then they've got the DS version, like Spaced Out, which is a little like cartoony game for babies.
The exclamation point. Yeah.
Space Cop, Trouble in Space.
Imagine Space Cops. What are we doing?
Imagine.
So I have been enjoying Space Cop. Nick, you started over, right, recently?
Yeah.
In fact, you tried to play it as the sniper. You tried to play a sniper cop.
I did try to play as a sniper cop.
You weren't hardcore enough, right?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't. I didn't pass the training.
No, but genuinely, you did try, right?
I mean, did. Well, I tried.
We're not just bullshitting.
I tried,
this.
And then I heard
did.
Your voice in the back of my head going like, you know, this sort of like, boo, 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 boo.
Whoa.
Man, I couldn't. I just got so frustrated, I quit. And then I sort of snapped back into reality, and I decided that if I kept going,
space cop.
Yeah. Oh God. Oh, I don't want to do that. Oh no. And so
people probably think you're making all of this up right now.
I probably, but that's what happened.
Yeah.
I could not go through like 6 hours of that, and then have to switch back.
Okay, so let's see what other kind of email we have here. BW Diedrich, right? That's a cool name. Writes, Dear Idle Thumbs, you guys are great. I like your podcast. That said, I'm worried about Nick Brecken. He's gone from Mr. Quiet Dude on the podcast, who has interesting stuff to say, to the new angry fuck a turret Nick. I hope that his personal...
Nick fuck a turret Brecken.
Well, I like that it's angry, then in quotes, fuck a turret, then Nick. So angry is your first name, and Nick is your last name.
Just call me angry.
I hope that his personal life is going well and he is happy. I mean, I have no issues.
I love
with
when we get emails like this.
I know, but, this is nice.
Know, I'm creepily worried about the emotional state of this guy. I don't know, but I listen to every week on a podcast about video games. Also, my girlfriend does not play video games, save for an emulated version of Kirby Pinball for the original Game Boy and an emulated version of Bust a Move, does not listen to gaming podcasts and thinks games are silly, and yet she can make the baboo bird noise at appropriate times and can sing the Idle Thumbs theme song. So that's pretty cool.
He sounds like he's trained his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And yet she can make the baboo bird noise at the appropriate
time.
That's
exactly right.
He even says,
at parties. My parakeets can also do this.
He actually says she can make the baboo bird noise at the appropriate time to make me laugh. So it's even more that she's trained to
wow.
for his amusement. All right.
This is creepy.
There's not a point to this email.
Well, I'm worried about you, guy.
Except I hope Nick's okay, and my girlfriend's pretty great, except she moved to Rhode Island for a PhD, and I still live in Oakland.
Okay. Whoa! Okay. Oh, man.
Email.
Like the Facebook of emails.
Let's
see
how
many here.
Can he add a couple more sentences to the end of this to just fully drive that email off a cliff?
No, he reins it in.
Oh.
And if you guys should talk about books you're reading, if you're the book reading sort. Your collective taste in games has borne good fruits in my life. And then he has a question mark. So you should share some thoughts on books. Not a regular feature, obviously, but every now and again, perhaps. Or maybe just once if you read this email. This email does not have anything to do with video games. BWD Drick. All right, he spelled it out in little things there. I don't know. Do we want to talk about a book for a second?
I just read The Martian Chronicles.
Oh, yeah, Martian. We were talking about that on the podcast.
Did we talk about that on the podcast?
Well, we didn't. I think we talked about it, and then that inspired you to want to go find it again.
Oh, right.
Or maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you think of it, having read it, having gone back to it after years?
It's an amazing book.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
I'd like to reread it.
Yeah. It's, it...
No, go ahead.
No, we're not going to talk about this, are we?
No, let's hear it.
Just that brand of sci-fi where you know it's sort of, Jake is
being a weirdo here.
I like where this conversation is gonna go when we round the corner to my book and then Chris's. That's
okay, all right,
so,
go.
Uh-oh.
No, go ahead.
Well, anyway, yeah, it's just that it, you know, I mean, just such a great kind of literary novel that isn't, you know. Space Marine, you know what I mean?
It's the weird, much more enigmatic sci-fi where it's almost hazy. I mean, my memory of reading that book is very kind of softer on the edges,
the
if that makes any sense.
Very lyrical and kind of descriptive rather than you know, plot driven. It started out as a series of just short stories, and then you just compiled it into a book. But man, it's amazing. It's really good. It kind of makes me sad that sci-fi today has turned into not that at all.
Yeah, it's just space wars.
It's space wars.
Space cops.
Yeah, yeah. There's no like mystery to it. Most of the time.
Sci-fi has actually been going back up the hill of cleverness in the last few years. Which
it's getting better. Yeah. But
I want to do, once we get our blog up, I want to do actually post about Mass Effect. That's the Mass Effect that I wanted Mass Effect to be, which if I actually get off my ass and do this, will be a screenshot gallery of
like your favorite little moments from Mass Effect.
Right. Exactly. The ones that if you only saw these screenshots from Mass Effect, it would look like a different kind of sci-fi. That's the kind that I was hoping it would be.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll get to that when I get to it. But
yeah.
Yeah. God, Martian Chronicles. I should read that. I haven't read Martian Chronicles in probably 12-13 years,
mm-hmm.
and I have a weird little, it's kind of like when you have memories of when you were a little kid and you just have weird little fleeting memories of little tiny things, you know, a book you've read a long time ago.
Yeah.
And Martian Chronicles is like that for me, and one of the most stirring images for some reason I have of that book is the scene was it on Mars where they plant all the trees to create all the oxygen.
Yeah,
I don't remember what led to this or anything, but there's a part in that story where all these trees are planted on Mars to create this artificial atmosphere, and there's so many, and it's essentially overforested. And Bradbury, the author, Ray Bradbury, just describes these just waves of oxygen just billowing through the air as these trees just produce this incredible amount of this life sustaining gas, except it's so much that it's almost suffocating. It's, mm-hmm. it's an extremely powerful image. It's the kind of weird sci-fi stuff that you just don't. It's not well represented these days, but it's extraordinarily strange and weird and powerful.
Yeah.
And I should read that book again because
space has become really ordinary now.
It's true. That's my problem with Mass Effect and other things like it, is that
I mean, going I guess from a planet to planet. It's sort of a natural thing, I suppose, now that space exploration has turned into.
I think we've talked about this specifically in terms of Mass Effect, though, because the opening crawl of Mass Effect is just like space travel is an officially amazing starting. Like, 3 years before this crawl.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and already they found the savior of the galaxy by the end of this game. Like, three years or whatever? Yeah. Like a decade?
Yeah.
Well, because the problem is, Mass Effect is another one of those games where you come across, oh, I guess there's this entire whole society of aliens all just hanging out, and space is already fully done. And so there's none of the mystery of space because everyone else in the world, in the universe, has already all figured it out.
Yeah.
So by the time you get to space, it's just like, oh, hey, what's up? We've got a little McDonald's on Venus, and like you can swing over to Alpha Centauri, and we've got a little house there. Like, you know, there's no. Because the opening text crawl to Mass Effect, it is awesome. It's got this big thing, and it's like, humanity finally discovered the source of like all space travel, the Mass Effect. And it's like this big awesome thing, and the music comes up, and you see a big edge of a planet, and it's really exciting. Yeah. But then it turns
jump
out
jump forward 200 years.
Yeah.
Now it's, you know,
it turns out when you want to go to another planet, all you have to do is click,
right?
And then you see a little cut, you see a little like loading screen, and then you're there.
Yeah. But it says Mass Effect probably on the loading screen. That's when the Mass Effect is taking place.
Mass Effect in parentheses. This is the Mass Effect part. Yeah. I mean, it might as well just be a game on Earth where you go to a different town on a plane. Like, right. There's nothing.
Mass Effect.
It's like jazz hands.
Right. It just says the Mass Effect is the name of the plane. It's like the Spirit of St. Louis.
Yeah. And I don't want to act like I'm dumb. This is not, I mean,
you hate Mass Effect.
You know, every basically Star Wars inspired sci-fi does this too. It's not like Mass Effect suddenly crapped it up.
We need to have a little classic sci-fi is good montage that just bores everyone with three hours
I'm
of
sorry.
Us repeating
Let's move
this conversation.
On. Jake, what have you been reading?
I was reading the Sherlock Holmes book, The Hound of the Baskervilles, which I enjoyed a lot. I really hadn't read a lot of Sherlock Holmes other than a couple short stories, and then I read that, and it's a sweet detective story. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot to say about it other than it's a really good read, and I like finally reading things that are blatantly sort of the root of a tree that over the last 120 years there's a whole genre of books that are that. But
and just in time for the movie.
Oh man! Oh, God. Boy, does that movie look
bad?
That
looks like such shit.
But So, also that book is, I believe, free because it's old.
Yeah,
because
it's public domain. It's super old.
But it's pretty good. I'm just gonna be a bitch and say that it makes me sad that people don't read that sort of thing anymore. Like I was thinking about that today about how right now what's really in a lot of movies that are like sort of popular genre films are. Not really being about characters or, I mean, just a lot of sort of plot, mystery, sort of discovery and exploration are really in films right now. And that is what a lot of older genre fiction is about in the same way that like you would like Pirates of the Caribbean now. And it makes me sort of sad that people don't actually read things like a Sherlock Holmes book at this point. And instead probably read way shittier modern genre fiction.
Yep.
Which, I don't know, it was weird reading that book. It's like, oh man, this would make an amazing movie that everyone would like right now. Like, modern audiences would crap their pants.
Instead, we're getting...
And instead, you're getting...
Who is it, Danny Boyle? Is he doing it? Am I totally bullshitting that?
No, it's Guy Ritchie.
Oh, Guy Ritchie, you're right. Yeah. Yes, he's doing it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, featuring, Crime Will Pay Watson, like, brandishing a blackjack or something. Like, what the hell? I guess that's what Watson was all about.
Yeah. Or he's a surgeon or something.
Yeah, he might actually be a mild-mannered surgeon, but
yeah.
Crime must pay.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I read that book a few months ago. Is that why you read it, or I don't know?
I may
be total coincidence.
No, I got some Project Gutenberg free book reading thing on my iPhone, and then I was just...
Sweet.
I found some anthology of Sherlock Holmes and then found that there was a longer one and read it, and it's good.
Cool.
That's all.
Yeah. Well, you had more stuff about to say than I did, so I'll just say I read that recently, and it's also good. I enjoyed it. I had never read Sherlock Holmes before, so it was cool. What I'm currently reading right now is Foucault's Pendulum by Umberto Eco.
See, we're rounding the bend finally. We've got Nick with decently old genre fiction, then me with like turn of the century genre fiction, and then you with indecipherable modern fiction.
Yeah, oh, there you go. We're covering all the bases here.
Yeah,
three of them anyway.
Of sort of pretentious but still fictional novels.
Right. I'm surprised Nick didn't have some crazy historical text.
Yeah, well, I'm reading.
Yeah, douche it up.
I'm just finishing up Team of Rivals.
Oh, okay,
as well.
Cool. So, nice. Yeah, that was good.
But that's not. That's not like. Yeah.
Anyway, Foucault's Pendulum. I gotta get this quickly. It's a novel by Umberto Eco. It's sort of interesting. It's definitely the precursor to the garbage like Dan Brown. What is that thing?
Da Vinci Code.
That kind of stuff. It's you know, this came out in the 80s. And it's definitely the stuff that inspired Dan Brown or inspired the people who inspired Dan Brown, that weird religious conspiracy stuff. Except what's interesting about Foucault's Pendulum is that, and I'm not finished with the book yet, so I'm not entirely sure what's going on yet, but it seems like it might, all the conspiracy stuff might be entirely fictional, even within the context of this fictional book, which is really interesting because all the Dan Brown stuff sort of says, oh, this is actually
this true
thing that, you know, that he's discovered or whatever.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a really hilarious interview that I read with Umberto Eco in New York Times Magazine a few months ago where someone asked him, about the comparisons to Dan Brown, and he's like, oh, well, actually, Dan Brown is basically a character from my book called Pendulum, who actually believes in all this bullshit. So, that was pretty funny. But the reason I'm reading this is because the book I read previously to this was The Name of the Rose, which is also by Umberto Eco, and that's awesome. Like, I can't recommend this highly enough. I enjoyed that one even more than I'm currently enjoying Foucault's Pendulum. It's set in a medieval abbey, and it's about almost a Sherlock Holmes-like monk who investigates these weird murders that keep cropping up. It's really, really awesome. That's all I'm going to say about these, so I don't drag this out any further.
And now back to video games.
Yeah.
Fuck books.
Why would you read a fucking lame-ass book when you can blow off a dude's head in a video game? That's what I want to know.
Why read a book when you can
play it? Please write in to questions@thumbs.net with your answer to that question.
Tell us how you would turn the Martian Chronicles into a first-person shooter.
Yeah, exactly.
The Idle Thumbs Book Corner was sponsored by Electronic Arts, Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Someone wrote in a... I don't have the link to this off the top of my head, but someone wrote in linking to a Flash game that is like a platformer that constructs itself based on text.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah.
Was that... I think that was an Armor Games game.
Yeah, I think it was.
The Achievement Unlocked guys.
Right.
Oh, okay.
But it forces you to read by just, you have to touch every letter of every word by one. Is that what
you're talking
about?
Every word, not every letter.
That's
but
right.
Just, yeah. You basically just creates a Mario style platformer with all the ground and obstacles being sentences from like a book or a poem or a short story or whatever.
Yeah, it was kind of great, actually.
It was actually surprisingly cool.
You just end up reading stuff that you wouldn't have otherwise read.
Right. It obviously lends itself better to poems than anything else, but
there is some short fiction in it.
If I find this, I'll put it in the DLC thread on the forums. All right. Magnus Killingberg writes, this might be the last email.
Greetings,
Thumbs. Love the show. You guys rock, etc. So I was sitting here bored and decided to listen to an old episode. Some random selection later, the one with the song titled You Gotta Use the Kid to Kill That Old Snake came on, and it was catchy. I'm like, I marveled at how catchy it was. My question to you, Chris, is are these songs you've done for Idle Thumbs distractions, or do you have a background in music? My apologies if you covered this before. We probably haven't. Hugs and no kisses, Magnus. Yeah, I was a music major in college, and I play some instruments. And that's really all there I have to say about that.
Can we read the survival horror?
Yeah, go for it. So yes, I do have a music degree for whatever good that does, But also, yes, also it is simultaneously a random distraction. I keep meaning to do more songs, but it takes a long time and I always forget.
You need to read this because I fear that I'll accidentally read it all instead of truncate it Chris style.
Okay. So Wes Martin writes, hey Thumbs, I've got a thing to share with you guys and I'd like to know if this ever happened to you. I was playing the new Professor Layton game, and I've noticed that any puzzle that provides the answer hidden in the picture terrifies me. This has happened more than once, and a few times with the first game. The last puzzle in which I was terrified is puzzle 61. I don't know what that is. You have to pick a hotel from a choice of four buildings, and there's no clue, just the appearance of the choice. He says, I had no idea how to do this, so I used the first hint, which was study the four buildings, and the answer will present itself. It was at this point my stomach dropped into my feet, and I was consumed by hysterical fear. This happens every time I come across a puzzle in which the answer itself is hidden. I even had to turn the light in my house on. I was horrified there was something in my house that had been staring me in the face, and I just couldn't see it. The second hint did little to quell my fears. Say, upon second glance, one of these buildings has the word hotel written on it. Do you see it? No, the word hotel was not a sign. The individual letters were hidden in doorways and window frames. Have any of you guys played this series, and did you experience a similar feeling, or am I just weird? Wes Martin, the guy who dreamt of bad dudes. So, that's back.
So this guy might be
this
a crazy
guy might
person.
Have
that's
something
awesome.
Going wrong upstairs. But,
I don't know.
But that's okay.
But yeah, the subject of this email was horrifying experience in non-horror games, and I was excited about this email because it's such an awesome idea, but I actually don't really have anything to say about it. I can't remember being freaked out by a non-freaky game. Do you have one, Nick?
I have one, but it's about a game that we can't talk about yet.
What?
What?
What game can we not talk about yet?
You know what game we can't talk about yet.
I don't think I do.
Well, anyway.
Oh, that is depressing. You're killing me.
I know. It's a good example, too.
Oh, thanks. That's helpful.
Horrifying moments. God, DEF CON actually is staring me in the face right now.
Yeah.
That is a...
But that game was supposed to do that to you.
Was it?
It's not like Professor Layton.
Yeah, but it wasn't a horror game.
I wasn't afraid. True. I wasn't chilled to the bone by the concept. It was like...
The presentation of that game is totally supposed to make you uncomfortable, though.
I guess.
When a little text on screen with no sound cue tells you exactly how many millions of people you've just killed... God
it is pretty
it.
Creepy, yeah. Oh,
I suppose. That's not the part that scares me, though.
What part scares you?
When it's nuclear launch detected. I guess that also in StarCraft, that's
the
also
fog
horrifying.
Of war strategy thing, where it's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's scary.
That does scare me, actually. I do get really stressed out by strategy games like that, where suddenly you realize how screwed you are. That happened to me a couple times playing against you, Nick, at BlizzCon.
I'm trying to think of a mobile app where I've just come across an image in something that freaks me out, even though it's
I don't think I've had that.
Like, ever?
No. Well, it's certainly probably in my life. I don't think in a video game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Because I feel like most video games that do that are probably doing it on purpose.
That's the thing.
I feel like it has happened to me before in video games. And probably because, like this guy, my brain occasionally decides to go insane
and
make me scared.
I've heard you see spiders when there are none.
That was a weird, insane thing. But, you know, sometimes there's a spider.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know.
Yeah, I think what he's talking about is not really. I mean, what I would go to are like moments of tension, but those are that's not really applicable.
Yeah, same here.
But I mean, he's talking about like
jumps out and scares you.
He's talking about Professor Layton, like just a picture of four hotels making his mind.
Well, that's what
have,
I mean.
Like a panic attack or something.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't think I've ever. I honestly don't think I've had an experience like that before. That's interesting, though.
I mean, if anyone reading this,
yeah, feel
with
free
your
to write
ears,
in questions at Idle Thumbs.
Yeah, please share.
Yeah.
All right. On that rousing note, are we?
Yeah.
Are we wrapping it up?
So hopefully, right now the Pyramid Head sound will blast into this episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or Pyramid Head.
Oh shit!
Sure, if I've got the right phone number. I'm trying to get information about Proposition 55. That's the proposition that would legalize same-sex marriage for wizards. I'm very much opposed to wizard marriage, and I was told if I dialed 55 wizard no, I could voice that opposition. Now, your outgoing message didn't exactly have a lot of information, but it did say something about wizards, so I guess I got the right place. Like I said, I'm very much opposed to wizard marriage. I got nothing against wizards personally. And, you know, what people do within the confines of their own citadel, that's their business. But I just think it's a slippery slope. You know, you allow wizards to marry, what's next? You could have people marrying minotaurs and centaurs. And what you got is you got minotaurs marrying centaurs. What's that get you? I mean, I suppose it gets you a child that's one quarter horse and, what, one quarter bull. I'm not very good with fractions. I do know there's a lot of livestock in that child. But I just wanted to call and voice my support to what you're doing there at 55 Wizard No. And just want to tell you, you're doing good work there. You know, it's important work what you're doing, protecting the sanctity of marriage, protecting it from wizards. Y'all have a good day.
Oh, you want to talk about Spider? We can talk about Spider. We got plenty of shit to talk about. Fucking done. Idle Thumbs. Ready? Go. This is Idle Thumbs. Spider horse balls. Ejaculate.
Ready? Wizard. Hey, wizard. Better watch. Nah, this ain't going anywhere. Guys, just delete this.